Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everyone. It's Becky Brown, and today I am joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron, and we are taking your calls. And, you know, it is always something in our lives, and one of the things that we hear a lot about are the divisions that are taking place in just conversations where, you know, we hear about entitlement and how we feel like we are privileged to be able to do whatever we want and have whatever we want when we want it. That's the society, the culture that we live in. But, you know, where does that come from? Where does the entitlement come from? And how can you recognize it in your own life? And why is it even a problem to begin with? I mean, after all, shouldn't we be able to get what we want when we want it and how we want it, you know, have it your own way and all that kind of stuff? Alice or Mark, what do you think about entitlement?
Entitlement. Yeah, Becky, I would define entitlement as wanting something that you haven't worked for or you don't deserve. And you're right. We do tend to see a lot of that happening. Especially, I would say, more, I think, for this younger generation, people feel like they deserve things that they haven't worked for. And so I would say it probably comes from lack of having responsibility. And not learning how to work for things. And so I would say probably the antidote for that is to learn responsibility and learn how to wait for things, which can be hard. A lot of us struggle with learning how to wait, and it can be a trigger. I know for me, learning to wait it was a trigger for me, and it's challenging to have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, don't you think that entitlement, which starts with an E, also is an enlarged ego, you know, where we think we're more important than we actually are. And so we have a false sense of self in different situations. Alice, what's your take on entitlement?
I think it's part of the natural human state, the broken human state. So when we think about babies and how entitled they act, I'm going to cry this loud because I need what I need and I need it now. And it feels like life or death. So you better give it to me. And then they're upset when they don't get what they want. It's built into us, again, in our broken human nature. And so I agree, Mark, that parents have a strong influence on how they treat their children as they get older. Of course, an infant's needs need to be met. But allowing our children as they get older a little bit of holy suffering where there's a delay in gratitude, a delay in gratification, it does teach us appreciation. And I'll give an example. I'm going to go back to food because unless you ever have to go without food for a time or there's a delay in getting the kind of food you want, most of us don't have an appreciation for all that goes into the food preparation and the food being there for us. But when there's some scarcity, some purposeful scarcity, we start to appreciate it more. If you've ever done a day of fasting, boy, that meal of breaking your fast tastes so good. And it's the purposeful scarcity that allows the gratitude to be built. And so parent management has a lot to do with allowing delay and some scarcity for our children with expectations of gratitude, expectations of work, so that they begin to appreciate the rewards.
Mark, do you have anything you want to add to that? Yeah. I, of course, have something, but go ahead.
No, I think it's good. I think that's great. And that's what I was talking about here with that whole learning to wait. And of course, we know babies, they need to be attended to, right? And so these are just stages of development that we need to learn to get through. And so when I do see somebody in adulthood who hasn't learned to wait, maybe it's that driver who's trying to get around me. When I'm driving, you know, they think I'm driving too slow, or maybe I'm driving the normal speed, right? I think back to that's somebody who didn't quite learn to wait in that stage of development.
You know, one of the things we can do while we're waiting is think about the things we're grateful for, and it can help us to step back a little bit.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're grateful for you, for listeners. And, we talk about every man's battle a lot around here because it is a problem for so many men. And if you're a man who feels entitled to look at porn and are now hooked, you can find freedom and hope at the Every Man's Battle Workshop. Take the first step and call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we will get you connected as soon as the next one comes along. We're going to go to a call that took place a while ago with John, Henry, and Steve. And Terry, I think you got that queued up. Go ahead and play it.
All right, let's jump over here to Marie from Minneapolis, Minnesota. KOPC is the station. Many flights not going through there yesterday. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome to New Life.
Oh, thank you. This is my first time calling into the radio, so I'm a bit nervous. I've only been listening to your show for about a few weeks, but I appreciate it. And
How did you hear about it?
What?
How did you hear about it? So a friend or just
a
dialing
friend?
Around?
Yes, a friend. She was listening to it in her car, and so I listened to it too, and we've been listening to it ever since.
Well, I'm glad you took a chance and you did something kind of out of the norm. Way to go.
My question is, how do I know when I am ready to go back and visit my parents? There's so much background I could give. I don't know what's necessary. I've been away basically for about a year and a half. I took a leave of absence from college and left, and they were not pleased with that, and they've had relationship struggles in the past, but they've really come to a front now.
Mm.
And I'm I did have some counseling with them last summer, only two sessions. It didn't really go very well, but I have a lot of fears, and I don't know whether or not I just need to face my fears and go, or what would be good. I've heard so many different things from so many different people, and I may have to live with them, well, go back and live in the same town.
Now,
where they live, because my friends are in difficult financial and health.
What were the issues, Marie? What were the issues with them?
Well, I don't know. The issues are, I guess, I know out of the ordinary, they wouldn't seem like a big deal, I guess.
Well, if they're a big enough deal to go to counseling and don't feel like you can go back home, I mean, that's by definition a big deal. Mm-hmm. Whether they would be a big deal for everybody or not depends on the nature of them. But right now they're huge to you, right?
Yes, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, I
was that pain? Was it hurtful when you started to think about it? Is that what happened? It's okay. Marie,
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
No, it's okay. Uh-huh. It's okay because see that's kind of what I was talking about. That when you say, you know, it might not be a big deal, and I said, no, it is a big deal, because it is this painful to you, and it's that frightening to you, and so
it is that. But also, I'm just trying to get over being nervous here and calling the radio, and I don't want to make a fool of myself and.
Well, but that's, you know, that's okay.
We do it every day.
We do it every day.
You just get used to it. So,
do you think you can say what a couple of issues are?
Okay, well, yeah, they definitely weren't physically abusive or anything like that.
And by they,
growing up, I felt like...
By they, who are you speaking about specifically?
Oh, my parents, you know, so it's not like it's a... safety thing, you know. I grew up, you know, I felt, you know, sort of like being criticized about a lot of things and then criticized and praised, sort of that contradictory feedback. And then I think what really sort of has scared me is a few years ago, my first year of college, I normally am pretty passive, but I blew up at them. And because I was sort of getting a lot of pressure my first weekend home, and it just escalated into a big argument. And I'm afraid of that. And also, I haven't been acknowledged. I've tried to explain certain things to them, and I have not. They haven't acknowledged me, and I can't really expect that. You know, they've because they may never be able to. You know, and I can't expect them to change. But I don't really know. I sort of, you know, I'm planning a, well, I was thinking of, I have to see them this summer, and then I was planning a visit home in May, just to sort of break the ice before our family reunion, and now I'm just feeling really reluctant about that and fearful, and but I'm torn, too, because, you know, I just need to sort of face my fears and confront them. My biggest fears are, you know, getting into an argument, not really knowing what to say, or my fear that doesn't even make sense at all is just getting into an argument and not being able to leave. I am disabled, so I am limited by transportation and things. And but you know, I
Marie, you know, without knowing all the specifics and without knowing them, et cetera, et cetera. Can I just give you a range, kind of a menu range of things to think about?
Yeah.
Normally, when people are in your situation, on the one hand is, you know, sort of at one end of the continuum is parents that are difficult and they're just difficult and you can't really look to them for anything. You know, but your growth step is to learn how to go relate to them at the level that they can be related to and kind of have the best relationship possible that you can with the level that they can relate to. And you just don't look to them for anything. You know, and the Bible is very, very clear that when you get to be, you know, an adult, they're no longer your primary source for love and for wisdom and for input and for all of that. That's your spiritual family.
Well, I've never really felt close to them growing up.
Marie, is even though their parents have not provided that when they should have, they have a wish well into adulthood for them to do it, and they stay stuck. So I think you really need to get grounded in a good spiritual community, good friends that give you all the things your parents didn't give you. That's God's model for His church. That's the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing for each other. So if you're getting all your needs met in your community, then you go back there and you relate to them to the level at which they can relate, and you don't look to them for anything. Now, that's kind of on one end of the continuum.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end of the continuum, though, well, let me not go to the other end. Let me go to the next step from there. The next step from there is where you actually go back, but, you know, there are some things that you need to learn, some skills, to be able to speak your mind, to not let them upset you, to interact with them, and to kind of grow, you know, through the experience of going back there. And it's actually kind of helpful to you, and then you find stuff to go talk about in your counseling or wherever.
Yeah, we can have a superficial conversation.
Well, but I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about where you actually learn to kind of be more of yourself. But on the other end of the continuum, there are situations where we do recommend to people, no, you know what, you can't go back. It's just too hurtful right now. It's too painful. It causes a regression. It destroys your growth. You need to tell them it's not a place that I can be. And we don't know exactly which one of those fits, but one of them does.
You know, when we say that sometimes we don't advise you to get back in there, we wouldn't advise somebody to dive into a patch of cactus. And that's kind of what it's like sometimes.
I'm really confused because some of my, you know, one friend seems to think that, you know, I'm ready and that I could be deceived into thinking that I'm never ready to go back. And so, and then I know, too, you know, some people say just to pray about it and seek God, and I'm really struggling in my relationship with God right now. And
yeah, Marie, do you have a counselor?
Yes, I've been in and out of counseling, I don't know, for the past
two years.
I have one. I haven't had an appointment in a couple weeks. But,
okay,
yeah.
Probably your counselor's in the best place to know this, but let me give you a guideline. The guideline is this: that when interacting with anyone is difficult and hard and stretches you and causes you to have to really use your muscles and grow and the skills, and it's painful. That's okay. You know, that's part of life. But there are times where it actually can injure someone or mm-hmm. cause them to lose the healing and the growth that they've had because it hasn't solidified yet. There's a verse in Hebrews that says this, "Make level paths for your feet so that the joint that is injured may not be, you know, broken again or put out of place or something like that, but instead so that it may be healed." And the idea is this, you know, when somebody gets injured in a football game, they examine them and they say, "Gosh, it's going to hurt, but get back there in there and play." There are other mm-hmm. people, to preserve their career, they take them out of the game and make them miss six games because that bone has got to heal enough, because if they get hit one more time, it's really going to be bad. And so if you go back there, for example, and it's difficult and you have, you know, conflicts, that's fine. But if you go back there, and I've seen this, and I'm not saying it's you, but I'm just speaking in terms of the principles here. You go back there and you go into a clinical depression and become anorectic and, you know, become suicidal and withdraw, and you
clinical
lose
depression, and so yeah.
Well, but you know, a lot of depressed people have to go do hard things, but I'm talking about where it really turns into something like you're suicidal or something like that. That's times where, you know, there are times when people need to stay away from things that can injure them. So I'm not suggesting that for everybody. I'm just saying, without knowing your situation,
right,
that it sounds like you're on the end of, gosh, it's time to go try to learn how to interact differently where they're not able to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't injure you, then what you want to do is have a lot of support in the process.
Okay. I hope that something that we say there is helpful.
I just want to give permission, Steve, to some people out there that are under some sort of should, that you have to go put yourself in some hurtful situation, and you don't. You know, if it's going to injure you, that's not something God would call you to.
Right.
If it's going to stretch you and grow you, then that's a different story, even though it might be painful.
Like, even you're reading Proverbs 4, guard your heart, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. If you put yourself in that situation, then the thing that God meant, that meant most to God, you know, can't be used and can't develop and can't help other people. You've got to guard their heart, not for any kind of selfish reasons, because that's where life comes from.
Yeah.
I always love hearing from those gentlemen. They have taught us so much, and we're so grateful to hear from Steve, and he's going to be back next week. And so, you know, it just goes to show you that truth is timeless, and we appreciate hearing that. We're going to go to the calls, and we're going to hear from Jen, who's calling us from Monroe, Michigan, watches us on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, click that subscribe button and the like button. It helps get the word out. Hi, Jen. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi. I was calling just to see what I could do next with my relationship with my stepmom. She and I, we haven't always been super close, but ever since my dad passed away a couple years ago, it's been strained, and I reach out continuously, and I don't get much in return. But recently, she texted me a picture of a Christmas ornament that I guess her and her fiance got together, and I had no idea that she was even dating anyone or that she is now engaged. And I think I just keep putting myself out there to say nice things to her and be kind, but it's starting to really hurt over time. And even when I bring stuff up to her, it's met with backlash of me being, "Oh, well, you're just crazy. There's nothing wrong." Well, there is, and I don't know when to either stop or ignite the relationship.
That's a great question, Jen. You can hear the music. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back and answer your question. You know, just like the previous caller, even on the recording, you know, families are tricky, and they can cause a lot of pain, and we can find ways through them, but it takes work. And so we're glad you called today. It's a step in the right direction. We are going to take your calls for the next hour. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you are here with us. We are talking with Jen, and there is just a separation in her family that has been a struggle since her dad passed. Alice, let's start with you and see how we can help Jen in this.
Jen, I admire that you keep trying with your stepmom, even though you've had so many hurtful reactions from her. And I would guess that staying in touch with her in a way is maybe honoring your dad's memory and perhaps is a way to stay connected with your dad as well. Is that the case for you?
Yeah, that's the case. I would love some sort of relationship to share memories or something, but I don't know if that's what she's really interested in. Mm-hmm. And I just, every time I reach out, I struggle longer and longer, I'm noticing. So I'm trying to save myself the pain, mm-hmm. I guess.
And I'm curious if there's also a should, meaning I wonder how you decide how frequently to be in touch with your stepmom, and if a should drives it in part or fuels it, like a good stepdaughter or a good daughter contacts her mom every week. What's your unwritten expectation of yourself?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I was reaching out weekly and calling weekly, and then I just kind of gave up, and then I was just doing it, you know, once in a while. And even, you know, this past Mother's Day, I reached out and, you know, said some nice things, but it was just met with a thank you, and that was it. And so I don't know what I'm looking for or if I should just love them for who they are and move forward and be okay with that.
And Jen, do you know, each time you call your stepmom, are you prepared that it will probably be hurtful, or is there a mixed hope of maybe this time it will be better?
I think I have both. Sometimes it's, oh, this is going to be a good one, or she's going to pick up the phone this time and I won't have to leave a message, and then she doesn't, or I'll text and, oh, she'll respond this time and she doesn't, and then, okay, just do it just because, and don't just be a good person today and just write a nice text and don't think about getting a response. Mm-hmm.
Jen, how long was your stepmom married to your dad?
16 years. So she kind of was there when we were little, my sister
okay.
and I. So it's not a new stepmom.
So she's been that mother figure for you for mm-hmm. a while when you were young. And so how do you feel now about her getting remarried?
Well, I don't even know the person. I didn't even know she was dating. I'm happy for her. I mean, my dad passed away from Alzheimer's, so, you know, she I think she deserves happiness, and I would just love to be a part of the
but
new.
If I had to ask you
world.
For an emotion, what emotion do you feel about her getting remarried?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm happy for her. I'm a little sad that she's moving on, but I'm still happy for her.
Right.
She deserves
and I find that often happens, right? It can somewhat, in a way, for some people, feel like a betrayal when a step-parent or you know, even a biological parent moves on and gets remarried. And I've seen that in my practice with several clients who have adult kids. And parents move on, and it feels hurtful, and so I wonder for you if it feels like she's letting go of your dad while you're still holding on for a little bit. What do you think? How true does that sound?
Well, I think because my dad was sick for so long, I think we were all able to really have some good long goodbyes. Mm-hmm. So having her move on and have another life is great. I just, you know, I think I'm more stuck on where I belong.
Right, and I wonder if that feels like another separation or abandonment for you, right? You've lost your dad, and now your stepmom is kind of, you know, you're losing some communication with her, and now she's moving on, and now she's starting, you know, another family, or going to be involved in another family. And I wonder if that, mm-hmm. there's some feelings of being left out for you.
Definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Jen, I give you permission, you don't need it from me, but I give it, for you to be hurt and angry that your stepmom is going about it in this way, and that by her behavior, she's rejecting a lot of the investment you keep making in relationship with her. And I give you the permission to have those feelings because it would be they'd be righteous feelings to have, and they'd also be kind of a radar or a warning that might help redirect some of your good behavior as you keep trying to maintain relationship. But her behavior is saying, I want very little relationship with you. And
right.
That's an ugly, hard statement to put out, but it's a piece of the reality that I hope will help you adjust the ways that you relate to her. It sounds like relationship with her is becoming more of a ministry than a relationship, or perhaps needs to. And by that, I mean, it is good, of course, to contact your stepmom and to stay in touch with her. But perhaps you experiment with decreasing the frequency, and you only reach out to her when you know you can emotionally and spiritually handle being hurt by whatever her reaction might be. That's what ministry is kind of like. We go out to hurting people, knowing we're not going to get much in return, but we're doing it purposefully on mission to be the hands and feet of God, but with little to no expectation of what we'll receive in return. And that might even have to be bookended by prayer and support and love from somebody who is stable before and after the call so that your hurts are tended to.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for calling. We're going to send you a copy of the 1 Year Bible for Women, and we'll be praying for that goodbye, as well as just the connection. We'll be right back after this break.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, if you happen to miss the Restore webinar yesterday, we had a free webinar. You'll want to see it. It was fantastic. And we've made it available on the Restore Workshop page. So if you go to newlife.com and click on events and then click on Restore, you will see it right there. Alice, you had a follow-up comment about our last call.
Well, about building spiritual family, because the Bible promises that God will put the lonely in families, and that often means a non-biological family, because the need to have loved ones around us never ends. But when our biological family or our step family is more hurtful than helpful in a chronic way, we need to seek family elsewhere. So God makes that promise, but it takes a lot of effort on our part to go out and seek people who are safe to be in relationship with. So we need a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, spiritual siblings. And that often is found in church community, in structured groups, or in our New Life recovery groups. And even on our New Life workshops, we help you build family, build a sisterhood and a brotherhood in the small groups that we offer on our weekends. So I was thinking about that with Jen, that if we can, we should maintain contact, even with a hurtful family member. We may have to do it at quite a distance and a limited amount, but then we need to find replacement family for our hearts.
Right. And, you know, that I think you mentioned, too, that the grieving process, when we have to let go of relationships, whether it was because we chose to let go or because they chose and we wanted some continued connection, there is a grieving process of letting. It doesn't mean that what you had before wasn't valuable. It just means that it's in a different place now. It's just a different stage. And, it, you know, we all got relationships, and so there's always going to be something. something that we're going to have to overcome. So that's a good word. We're going to go back to the callers, and we're going to talk with Ray, who's calling us from Fresno, California, watches us on YouTube. If you're watching us there, please click subscribe and like. It'll get the word out to others. Hi, Ray. Thanks for calling today. How can we help you?
Hey, I was calling about my daughter, who is graduating on the 20th. Got her this far, yay.
Congratulations.
I know. She was so difficult when she was little that, like, in third grade, I was just crying out, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do with this one. And so I wrote in my kitchen, he told me, you're not her mom first. I'm her parent, and you're fostering her. And so I wrote in the window, thank you for trusting me to raise your child. And so I'm getting to that place where, you know, we've done a lot of pulling our hands back and letting her kind of spread her wings a little and make some mistakes. And so I feel like we're on track as far as parenting at this point. But at church, they had a senior weekend thing. And so I made a board for her. You know, they put out boards with pictures and whatever, and I made one, and so she agreed to come to church on that day. She's not a fan, and she saw it, and she's like, I didn't even want to be here today. And I was like, okay. Well, they gave her a gift, and halfway through the service, she pulled it out, and it was a Bible. So she looked at it, and she was like, I'm ever going to read this, and she tossed it between us. Aww. And I said, well, and she's been making comments recently, like, not everyone has to believe in God, and so I said, well, I'll hang on to it for you. And she said, hang on to it for yourself if you want, but I don't want it. So, her whole life, it has been, I tell them, I don't care what you do. If you learn to really, truly love God and to love people, I will never be more proud of you. And she hates people. She says, I hate people. They're so annoying. And she obviously wants to believe that there's not a God. For now. So I was praying about it during the service, and the Lord told me to read this Bible and just to underline any of the promises that I want to claim over her life. So I'm reading it cover to cover, and he said, every time you read it, put a dollar bill in. And I was like, okay, well, when I get to 20s and 50s, do I, like, replace it with a bigger bill? No, just put dollar bills in it. And so I pictured having to rebind this Bible because it would get so fat with dollar bills. He said, when she's baptized, give her the Bible. So when gave me a lot of hope, right? And I said, what's the deal with the dollars? And he said, she'll pull them out and spend them. They'll be gone quickly, but the word of God is eternal. So, okay, so I've got that promise. And now we're at this point where my other daughter listens to really profane music. She actually goes to and enjoys a youth group, but both of them, hearts are not with the Lord. And so when, as she's planning on staying at home for the next 2 years to go to community college. And so as a parent, I don't do a whole lot of pushing God. As they were growing up, you're going to go on Sunday, like it or not, word of God's going to get in there. And now we're at that part where I don't have a say over whether or not she goes. I don't, you know, they see me reading the Bible. We pray over meals. Like, I have a very intense faith with the Lord, but, like, what is my role as a parent as we enter into adulthood with speaking faith with a child who doesn't have or want one?
It's a good question. Mark, let's start with you.
Well, Ray, I think you're doing a great job so far. I love all of the things that you're doing. I want you to know that I'm right there with you. I have two kids who are graduating this month. Actually, it's my daughter's birthday today. She's turning 18 today. And so, yeah, I totally get it. I'm there with you with, you know, how do we release, right, them to start to take some accountability and control over their own lives. What I would encourage you here is that your daughter is still a dependent upon you, right? I mean, in society, we call them adults, right? Legally, yes, they're an adult, but, you know, she's still a teen. She's still going to be a teen for another couple of years. And biologically, she's still going to be in adolescence, meaning her brain's going to be still developing for probably the next 7 years here. So you still have a lot of influence going on in her life. And so I just want to normalize some of what's happening right now is that she is in this exploration phase where she's wanting to put different things on. And right now it sounds like she's taking God off and putting some of the world on and seeing how that might fit for her. But what we know as Christians, right, is that we all do really have that. It's not just a cliche, but we do have that God-shaped hole inside of us, and all of us do need God. And I think as you when we're good to our kids, we model the qualities of how God can be. And so I think that's what you're doing as you're being good to her. So what I would say, I would encourage you, of course, you can't make her go to church at this point, but keep talking to her about God. Even if she doesn't want to hear about it, I would keep talking about it. She's living in your house. So I think it's a great opportunity that you have for the next couple of years. And I think what you'll see is that she'll think differently. You know, I often say this to my kids when they push back on something. I ask them, I say, well, how did you think about that? Or how did you think about yourself 4 years ago? And of course, it's completely different. And so I encourage them to say, well, you might think about this completely differently in 2 years from now and 4 years from now. And I think a lot of those lessons, what I'm trying to say here is a lot of those lessons I think will come back as she gets older.
That's very good. That's very good. And happy birthday to your daughter, Mark. And we'll be praying for your daughters, Ray. And it is a big change in their lives. And it's a next step. We'll send you a copy of, what is it? Secrets Young Women Keep is what I'm thinking, because there's some good input into the lives of young women. In the studio is Larry Sonnenberg. We are so glad you're here, Larry. And I know that we have a matching gift campaign that we are looking forward to match each and every dollar. And what would you have to share with us today?
Well, I want to thank everybody who is giving. We're getting there, but we still need a fair amount of support to get to the end. It was a $325,000 matching gift. And so I want to read a testimony that is a little different than most, but it's still effective. It's a testimony from a lady. She says, I'm a counselor in your network. Want to send you some encouraging news. I got a call today from a former client. Prior to seeing her years ago, I'd seen her newlywed daughter and husband, who are having severe marital problems. I had several sessions with them, but they left therapy somewhat abruptly. After I identified the husband's sexual addiction and told him he needed to attend every man's battle, I didn't see much hope for them. Well, fast forward a little bit, the wife's mother called me today for a different reason. She mentioned in passing, by the way, you saved their marriage. I asked for clarification. She revealed that her son-in-law couldn't handle my advice at the time, but he did end up attending every man's battle, and it changed his life. He's been in individual counseling since then with accountability. The marriage thrived. They have a child. Her mother gratefully shared, I just got back from my granddaughter's birthday party. So, folks, lives can change. Lives can change. It's not always as directly affected as you'd like it to be, the way you present it and offer it. But God presents people when you don't expect it and calls things to mind to help people take the steps they need to take. And I'm just praying you might call to mind that you could make a gift to New Life and help us get this matching fund matched. We appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with a program note about the many ways you can listen to New Life Live. Go to newlife.com. You can listen to today's episode or catch up on past shows where you can see the questions asked and also the suggested resources. For an even more complete list of ways to listen, go to newlife.com and click on the Listen tab.
Thanks, Terry Mack. I was going to talk over you. There are so many ways to listen, and we just love to hear from you where you listen, and we're just excited to be able to be part of your lives because we know that God's working in all of this. We're going to go to our final call, and it is from Jack, who's calling us from Indianapolis, watches us on YouTube. We love our YouTube family. Hi, Jack. How can we help you today?
Hi, Becky, and the rest of New Life gang there. Thank you for your guys' wisdom. I listen to you guys mostly every day if I can. I'm calling in today because I've got a close friend who is in a rough patch with his marriage, and he seems pretty willing to work on things and to get some help outside of just them working it out, to maybe go to some counseling. She is seemingly less enthusiastic about going to counseling and has even stated that she's had quote-unquote bad experiences with counseling. So I'm calling today just to see what advice I can give to my friend, the best way that I can help him. I've really thought hard about giving him the book How We Love, giving him my copy of it. Just I know how much it's helped me in realizing, you know, how I attach to people, and so I think that would be a big benefit. But my good friend is not a believer, and neither is she. And so, Mark, maybe I was wondering the best way that I can help sell this book to my friend, even if it's in a non-Christian sphere there.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, Jack. I think that's a great resource to give them. What I love about How We Love is, I mean, as Christians, we believe God created everything, right? So we do believe that God created attachment, but there's a lot of attachment research out there that is not really kind of been done by quote-unquote Christians. And so what Mylan and Kay did is they just took 70-plus years of research and they put it into a book for the everyday person to understand. And there's some scriptures in there that they're talking about, but largely most of what they're talking about does not have this big spiritual emphasis too. So I think somebody can track with that and hang with that even if they don't have a big spiritual belief in God. What is the problem in the marriage? Do you know, Jack?
I do know. I'm not sure how much I should reveal on radio or not, but what I do know is this marriage is my friend's first everything. This is his first girlfriend. Mm-hmm. This is his first kiss. She was a chronic dater growing up, very rarely single. So I know that that is a big piece of things. I think she's going through some different medications and things, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things changing under the surface that that my friend can't see, and she is unwilling to really be open with him in a big way.
Yeah, it sounds like it's complex here. So here's what I generally say to people whose partner does not want to come into therapy: is I tell them, you go to counseling. You go to counseling and you start to work on you, because, you know, when couples come in, I tell them this. I say that this really is, you know, individual work. We're doing couples counseling, but it's individual work. It takes two healthy people to have a secure relationship. You can't take two insecure people and expect to have a secure relationship. The math just, that doesn't work out. And so what I would say to your friend is he go. He start to work on his stuff. He start to look at his attachment experiences. And as he grows and becomes more secure, he'll develop more language to be able to invite his wife. Plus, she may see some benefits of him becoming secure that benefits the relationship. And then another way, too, is you can invite a spouse as, you know, coming in to start as a collateral to say, hey, would you mind coming in and giving some feedback to me with my therapist so that my therapist can understand more about how to help me? And that's a great way to kind of get someone to, not in a manipulative way, but to have them just kind of get an experience. And it sounds like she needs to have a new experience of what therapy is or can be like.
And if that can be salted with genuine confession and humility about his imperfections, I'm not the best listener, and my attachment style can be difficult to connect with. So as I'm learning how to be a better husband, your feedback will help that refining process. And there are two great entry points to the How We Love book. There's a free attachment style quiz on Mylan and Kay's How We Love website, and it will give your friend his attachment style and the positives and negatives of that. So that will give him kind of the information about how he's difficult to relate to that he can then bring to his wife. there's also some freebies that they have on their website. Mm-hmm. And Mark and I are battling for number one fan of the Comfort Circle because we know how effective it is, and sounds like you do too, Jack. And the Comfort Circle itself doesn't, I don't think it has any direct spiritual connotation to it. It's just structured listening that helps a conversation get and stay safe. And it helps one person remain the listener, one person remain the speaker. So those are two things your friend could access if he's a little hesitant to read the book itself. Starting with that usually attracts people to the rest of their material because it works.
I agree, Allison. And you know what, Jack, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love so you don't have to get rid of yours.
Yeah, good idea.
Because I think that would be a great gift for them. And I agree with what you're saying, Alice, that and thank you, Jack, for calling. I think the book itself can be a little overwhelming for some folks, but if you go and take the assessment, it leads you into understanding what the whole thing is about. And, you know, we all have histories. All of us do. We all learn to love some way, somehow, and we figure this out just by, I mean, I don't even know if we do figure it out, do we? I mean, like, we just struggle along and we think it's the other person. Alice?
We're just always a work in progress. As much as we all have learned and we practice this, until the day we die, there will be more refining of our character to be done.
Mm-hmm. And I've known some therapists who also work with folks. The therapist is Christian, but the client is not. And they have had success with the clients who read the book because, you know, eventually they can put aside, you know, their resistance to the spiritual part of the book, and they see the meaning behind the intentional work that Mylon and Kay have done and have changed so many people's lives. And I know, Mark, this is a big part of your work. And, you know, and I'm sure attachment styles have changed your life as well as the folks that you're working with. What would be the one key thing that people pick up from this?
Yeah, I think the key thing, and you're right, Becky, that's what reading at How We Love really did change my life. It changed my relationship with myself, first and foremost, and that transformed my relationship with my family. And so it really just kind of makes sense. Attachment is how we work as human beings and how the brain works. And so I see a lot of people who are non-Christian in my practice, and I think the book just makes sense. As you read the book, mm-hmm. as you start to understand more about attachment, it makes sense. And as you said there, Becky, we all have histories, and histories impact us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Well, we are so grateful that you joined us today, and I hope that something that you heard from either one of the callers or one of our wise co-hosts will make an impact. You know, if you want to be part of that matching gift, you can go to newlife.com and you can give there, or you can call us, whether it's to give a donation at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or if you need a counselor or a coach, or maybe join us at a workshop. We can help you. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, listeners. We're so glad that you joined us, and we will see you next time. Remember, tell somebody about New Life. It could make all the difference in their world. God bless you.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.